This is DW News, and these are our top stories. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov concluded crisis talks over Ukraine on Friday. After the meeting in Geneva, a Kremlin spokesperson said there was no reason for optimism yet. The White House repeated its position that the US would not stop Ukraine from joining NATO, despite Russia's insistence. The two sides have agreed to keep trying to de-escalate tensions. The so-called Islamic State has launched one of its biggest attacks in Syria since it was defeated there in 2019. The militant group targeted the Gueyran prison in Kurdish-controlled northeastern Syria, where thousands of IS fighters are held, and reports say dozens of them have escaped. US singer Meat Loaf has died at the age of 74. He was best known for his album Bat Out of Hell and the song I'd Do Anything for Love. He also starred in 65 movies, including cult classic The Rocky Horror Picture Show. You're watching DW News. You can get more on our website, dw.com.
After 90 minutes behind closed doors in Switzerland today, both the U.S. Secretary of State and the Russian Foreign Minister agreed to meet again soon. It was the culmination of 2 weeks of high-level, high-stake talks aimed at preventing a Russian invasion of Ukraine. There's no common ground to report tonight, no new battlegrounds either. From Geneva to Geneva, with Berlin, Brussels, Kiev, and Moscow in between, diplomacy has won the day, even though the threat of war is still very real for tomorrow. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
If Russia wants to begin to convince the world that it has no aggressive intent toward Ukraine, a very good place to start would be by de-escalating.
Russia has never, nowhere, not a single time, through its official representatives, threatened the Ukrainian people.
We will continue to prepare resolutely to both paths that we've laid out for Russia, the path of diplomacy and dialogue.
I haven't heard any argument today that would justify the American position.
Or the path of renewed aggression, confrontation, and consequences.
Also coming up, War and Peace and a Lesson from the Past. A new film reimagines the threat of Hitler through British eyes.
Men and women of Britain and the Empire. As long as war is not begun, there is always hope.
To our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with no invasion, no war to report, at least for now. For the past 2 weeks, the West and Russia have locked linguistic horns, pulling each other ever closer to the edge of a military confrontation over Ukraine. Today, it took only 90 minutes for the top diplomats of both the United States and Russia to agree that there is still more to talk about. When the first round of discussions began almost 2 weeks ago in Geneva, Russia presented a list of security demands and requested a written response from the U.S. Today, again in Geneva, the U.S. agreed to reply in writing, but it won't be anything the Kremlin wants to read. Our coverage starts tonight in Switzerland.
At least they're talking. But with relations between the U.S. and Russia at an extreme low point, the two countries' top diplomats had radically different goals. The U.S. to avoid Russian military action in Ukraine.
We've been clear. If any Russian military forces move across Ukraine's border, that's a renewed invasion. It will be met with swift, severe, and a united response from the United States and our partners and allies.
Russia has said it wants security guarantees from the West, including denying NATO membership to Ukraine. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said he hoped for a de-escalation. I spoke frankly about this with Tony Blinken, and he agreed that we need to have a more reasonable dialogue. So I hope that emotions will decrease, although there are no guarantees. Meanwhile, Ukrainians are preparing for an invasion that could come any day. These satellite photos are said to show Russian military equipment near the border. Tens of thousands of Russian troops have also been stationed nearby. In the east, where any invasion is expected to begin, Ukrainian soldiers took heart from Blinken's European trip. I think now, when we face this really tense situation, this is very important for our country. It shows that we are not alone, that we have support. And with the Russian threat, we can count on our forces and our allies' power. However, the U.S. has ruled out a military response to any Russian invasion. Instead, it has outlined a range of possible sanctions. Russia says it doesn't want to get bogged down in endless talks with the U.S. But both sides say they will indeed keep talking.
Well, my first guest tonight is well-placed to analyze events on both sides of the Atlantic. Heather Conley is president of the German Marshall Fund of the United States. She spent years at the U.S. State Department, where she served under former and the late Secretary of State Colin Powell. Heather, it's good to have you on the day. It's good to see you. Let me just get your read on what happened today. Does today mark a victory for diplomacy?
Well, yes, the fact that that both sides have decided to keep talking. But to be honest with you, on the ground, things continue to be quite dangerous. There are now continuing reports that Russia is mobilizing and sending mercenaries into eastern Ukraine, into Donbas. Clearly, NATO allies are very rapidly sending in additional equipment, Stinger missiles from the Baltic states to shore up Ukraine's defenses. So while, yes, it was a day that both sides said, let's keep talking, and there's a lot of focus on the written response that the United States and its European allies will offer. And I think that's a bit of a trap that I think the West is going to have to reckon with next week. But a good day for now. But on the ground, things are continuing to be quite concerning.
Yeah, let me ask you about this written reply. I mean, you can have Washington write what it's been saying for the past 2 weeks. I mean, nothing's going to change just because it's in written form. Is it, or what would you think the Russians would be expecting by having something in hand?
Yeah, this is the mystery here. You know, in some ways, this demand by Moscow for something in writing harkens back to 1990, and in some ways, this the Russian myth that the United States and NATO promised Russia that it would not move forces closer to the east, that has been debunked repeatedly. Nothing was ever in writing. So is this, in fact, Moscow attempting to force the West into getting something into writing? But you're absolutely right. What will that say? Because we are so far apart in the demands that Moscow has issued on these security guarantees. We're not removing forces from NATO countries. In fact, Russia increased its demands to remove NATO forces and U.S. forces from Romania and Bulgaria. The response, France has decided to reinforce its deployments to Romania. So again, there's what guarantees are we going to give? I assume that this paper will outline agreements that the Russians have stepped away from: confidence in building measures, the OSCE Vienna document on transparency and military exercises. This isn't new security guarantees. This is getting Russia back into agreements that they had already signed and pledged to follow and that they have violated.
The United States was very careful to consult its NATO and European Union allies through each and every step of these past 2 weeks of negotiations. Are transatlantic ties stronger tonight as a result of the past 2 weeks?
Well, I would say over the past several weeks, and in some ways, the irony of all of this is Vladimir Putin is the great transatlanticist. He is pushing NATO and U.S. and our European allies even closer together. And, you know, if he's trying to pull us apart, it's not working. It's reinforcing this allied unity. But let's also be clear. We had a setback with President Biden's unfortunate comments during his press conference that certainly, again, voiced there are some disagreements about when to sanction, how to sanction, what to sanction. But I think that was reinforced very clearly. The administration stepped away from that. And the administration is doing an enormous job in reaching out for consultation. But it's not how often we talk to our allies. It's the content of that conversation, what we're promising, and make sure that everybody's on board.
Heather, I want to talk to you a little bit about what this year represents, 2022. It marks the 75th anniversary of the Marshall Plan for Europe. It also marks your organization, the German Marshall Fund's 50th birthday. The Marshall Plan is held as one of the most perfect pieces of foreign policy, if you will, U.S. involvement in rebuilding a peaceful Europe. With all that in mind, I've got two questions for you tonight. Has the Marshall Plan, has it served its purpose? I mean, is it over? And with so much focus on Asia and China now, is a renewal of the Marshall Plan in any shape or form in the 20th century, is that just a non-starter?
Well, thank you so much for recognizing and honoring this these important anniversaries. The reason that it's the 50th anniversary of the German Marshall Fund, it was a very generous gift by the German government in 1972 to honor the then 25th anniversary of the Marshall Plan. It's a great question because I've reflected that in some ways what we're experiencing today is not unlike the, you know, 1947-48, 1949 period in Europe. And for those who recall that history, when George C. Marshall, an incredible leader who understood the value of allies, that America was only strong if Europe was strong, put together a very bold assistance plan to strengthen our European allies in the face of Soviet confrontation. If it was the Berlin airlift after the Soviet blockade, after the United States, United Kingdom, and other allies were supporting Western Germany, this did not stand. Allies came in support of freedom. The spirit of the Marshall Plan is what lives on 75 years later. And when we provide economic assistance, when we understand that our principles of freedom, of democracy, of international law are at stake, the spirit of the Marshall Plan has to be there. And so your question about the Indo-Pacific, mm-hmm. when we think about China violating sovereignty, we understand the spirit of the Marshall Plan, strengthening allies and confronting challenges. So that spirit lives on very much today and into the future. And we hope the GMF represents that as well.
Yeah, and it does. And, you know, I know on this side of the Atlantic, you've got a lot of people who support what you do and your work. And they can't help but wonder about the irony of the situation we're in right now. It's the year 2022. We just had these 2 weeks of talks. And it is the security calculus, the security situation of Europe that is once again at the heart of geopolitics that we're looking at on both sides of the Atlantic. Would you have thought of that? That would happen, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, in many ways, this was the genius of NATO in 1949, bringing allies together that have strong values and principles, defending those principles and defending each other. I think those principles remain, whether it's when we were, you know, working together as far afield as Afghanistan, providing humanitarian aid after tsunamis, whatever that is democracy in action and strengthening the international system. The international system is under threat, and this is not about just Ukraine, although they're feeling the extraordinary focus of threat. This is about the future of the international system. Do we want it to be one of respect of territorial integrity and sovereignty, or do we wish for powers to exert spheres of influence? Yeah. This is what this is about, and I think we know the answer. It's going to take a lot of courage to defend those principles, but we know the answer.
Heather Conley, president of the German Marshall Fund of the United States. Heather, it's been good talking with you. Please come back and talk with us again. I'm sure there's going to be plenty to talk about in this eventful year of 2022. Thank you.
Thank you.